Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Wednesday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for December 5th, 2012, episode 545, brought to you today by Back on Track Products. Good morning, Horse World.
Big Wednesday, the day you face your own biggest challenge, the day you risk it all, the day you either distinguish yourself or fade into the crowd.
Hang on, we're hitching a ride.
Daddy, I want another pony.
I put 40 hours in this weekend, man, it's only Wednesday. I've been cutting this damn heat all day long, there's got to be another way. So I pick up my guitar and I ride a song. Everybody.
Well, good morning to everybody listening live, and good afternoon or good evening or whatever the heck you're listening, if you're listening to the recorded episode of this. But just want to say thank you for joining us. Oh, my gosh, I realized that Christmas is like 2 weeks away.
Or yep, maybe 20 days.
20 days away. So it's like a little less than 3 weeks. So yesterday, Chad and I got our tree. It's currently sitting outside because I don't even have a space kind of available for it in the house, but I'm like, we have to get a tree. Oh my God, 3 weeks till Christmas. And so I freaked out and got everything started, kind of the ball rolling. I got to get everything wrapped because I have to mail everything because nobody here, no, I don't get anybody gifts that lives here. None of my family's around, none of Chad's family's around. So I've got all this mailing to do. I'm so stressed out. Is anybody overwhelmed besides me?
Well, I got a question for you. I do have a question for you. You're in the middle of Phoenix. Everything's brown. You got desert. So are the trees just sort of Charlie Brown trees, or do you have to pay a lot because they import them from someplace that actually has green?
Actually, I don't know where they grow them, but, you know, not all of Arizona is brown, ugly desert, just where I live. So if you go north of here, it's really pretty. So it wasn't too bad. It was the really fancy ones, of course, you know, the ones everybody wants are the ones that are really expensive. So we got the cheap Douglas fir, if you will. And I can't say that it's Charlie Brown tree. It's kind of big and kind of pretty. I mean, it's like, it's a little taller than me, so it's got to be over 5 feet tall. So
well, good.
I don't know if that's huge or not. Yeah. And I have some good news, too, by the way. I just wanted to let you know, we talked a little bit about it on Monday, but this Facebook page, MASH Horses, that I've been working on for the prison inmate horses, if you check out facebook.com/adopthorses, you can see this page. Well, we got our first adoption from Facebook on Monday. Yay!
Good for you. Was it the Air Force girl?
Yeah, it was a girl who, she saw the page on Facebook. I wasn't Facebook friends with her. She saw the page on Facebook and she emailed me about one of the horses, and I'm like, hey, I know you. So I took her down to MASH and she adopted. And it's funny because this was the one horse that I was like, oh, bless her little heart, nobody's gonna want her, like she's gonna be the last to be adopted. Well, she was the first to be adopted. She's got crooked legs, she's got a little bit of a limp. They don't care. They bought her for their young son. They're like, the lamer it is, the better. So they're going to take real good care of it. She's already scheduled appointments for the chiropractor to come out and adjust her. I'm so excited. So it was just a really great home, and all from this little Facebook page. And it's just really, really cool. So I'm really happy for Tara and for Dolly, as she is.
Now, I have to ask you, I'm looking at the picture of Tara here with her new horse that you posted on the MASH page. And Tara looks like she maybe fell off one time too many, but judging by the cast on her arm.
Yes, I asked about that. I said, how did you do that? She's like, yeah, an Arab.
That says it all. We don't need to say anymore, do we?
Exactly. And you know what else pisses me off about this picture is when you're in the prison, we're inside the fences in this picture on Facebook, and you cannot just take anybody in there. And Tara has a baby that is less than a year old. And so I actually sat outside babysitting this baby for about an hour while she was doing all the adoption stuff.
Practice for you.
Exactly. That's fine. But I want you to look at Tara. The child has not 1 ounce of fat on her. Does she look like she had a baby less than a year ago? Those are the kind of people I hate. She's like, I gained 50 pounds being pregnant, but I lost 40 of it by the time I got home. I hate you. I hate you. Here, I'm like getting on a scale. I'm like, oh my God, I put on more weight than I'm supposed to in my first trimester. So it's awesome. Oh, there you go. Well, congratulations. She's got a new horse. It was great.
Well,
I hate her because she's skinny.
Jennifer, what's coming up on today's show?
On today's Back on Track Wednesday edition, the crappy list is back. And Glenn has gone all out with some belly laugh sound bites for our entertainment. And here to help us enjoy the party that is the AAEP convention, the Horse Health Report gals on the scene, Michelle Anderson and Dr. Aaron Jones, live, albeit sleepy, from Anaheim, California. And keeping with the party theme, Happy Repeal Day, everyone. On this day in 1933, Congress, in one of their very, very few wise things, blew up the 18th Amendment, known by most of us as the Prohibition Act.
That's when Jamie has a party today, normally every year, but not this year. She can't do it this year. Well, my daily whinny goes out to a 17.3-hand giant horse in England called Chiswick. Chiswick was recently retired from the London Metropolitan Police after 12 years of service. He was one brave police horse. Apparently, in one situation during what they call the student riots of 2010, Chiswick climbed the steps of one of their war memorials over there to remove protesters and actually leapt over burning barricades. And so he also would lead state funerals. And the reason he led state funerals was apparently he could walk slow enough. He was one of the few that would walk slow enough to do it. But he's quite a troublemaker because he was put into retirement at this sanctuary in Buckinghamshire, and he managed to destroy 7 of the fences in the field. Apparently, he has a little naughty streak to him. The one day they had him out on, they were practicing, and they had him out on the beach. So they were riding up and down the beach. Well, apparently he decided at one point he just wanted to lay down and take a roll. So he laid down, dumped his rider off, and rolled in the brand new, they had just gotten a $1,000 saddle, scratched it all up. And so apparently he's quite a troublemaker, but they have reinforced the fencing at this retirement facility now. So hopefully it'll hold Chiswick in. I guess he figured, I've worked hard enough, I can cause some trouble now. So that's a retired police horse, Chiswick, 17.3 hands. And when you see the picture of him, he is huge. Can you imagine seeing him come down the street in the middle of the city? Big horse. So that is my daily whinny. Oh, I think we lost Jamie.
Me?
Oh, no. I'm right here.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I was getting quiet because... this is a very, very serious business that I'm going to bring up right now. Being that I am about to be a mother and I am a horse owner, I heard a news story that I really think I need to pay attention to and share with all of our listeners. This is a news story, a breaking news story, and we have the audio. Here we go.
A new medical study released this week could have major implications in parenting. According to the study's authors, even the smallest bite from a horse could be harmful to newborn babies. Quote, we speculate that this is due to the smallness of the infant's body as compared to the largeness of the horse's teeth. Public health advocates are urging parents to reconsider everyday choices, like loading strollers up with oats and apples, or dipping their babies in cider and wiggling them in front of a horse's muzzle. But some say this new information won't change a thing.
Kids are going to be kids. I can't control if my daughter will or won't get bit by a horse. I mean, that's how we were raised, and we turned out fine.
The study's authors say there is no conclusive evidence, however, suggesting a link between biting a newborn baby and any injury to the horse itself.
Oh, my God, I love The Onion. I love TheOnion.com. But when you see something come up from The Onion about a horse, that was fantastic. You just have to check it out.
Now, was that an actual study? It was a study, wasn't it?
No, all from TheOnion.com. And, of course, if you don't know what The Onion is, it's actually, if you go to TheOnion.com, it's a mock news website. And I remember back when Harry Potter first came out and the movies were coming out, there was a story, The Onion did a story making jokes about Harry Potter. Now students everywhere are buying magic wands and learning to do witchcraft. And this whole story about kids mimicking and being able to do spells and all this kind of stuff. Well, there was a huge outrage from a Christian organization, a Christian mothers group. How dare Harry Potter? It's possessing our children and blah, blah, blah. Look at this article. It's from TheOnion.com, and it says the children are doing this. And it was this whole big thing, and their foundation was a story done on TheOnion.com, which just made them look even more ridiculous than they were. But it was great. And, when I mentioned this to Glenn, Glenn's like, is this a real story? Like, no, it's just The Onion. But The Onion tricks people all the time.
I love that. Don't roll your baby. Never roll your baby in molasses and then put it up to a horse's mouth. Probably not.
Yeah, exactly. Listen, yeah. Don't fill your baby stroller with oats and walk out into the pasture. Thanks.
You learned a valuable lesson. The Onion helped you in your new motherhood here.
Man, thank God they said something, because I would have dipped my baby in whatever they said, cider, and dangled it in front of a nose. Jet would have a field day.
Yes. Well, really bad ads this Friday. We have a prize for you. It's going to be stud muffins this week, isn't it, Jennifer?
Stud muffins, the big pack.
Okay, so they're going to send out the stud muffins, the big pack. So you can use that for your own horses, or give it as a gift if you want
to
be.
Do not put them in the stroller.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. No.
God, that
do
would
not
be
put
a
them
mess.
In the diaper bag.
And that's do bad. Not let your baby hold them when feeding to the horses, because they really get grabby with stud muffins. They really like them. So we're going to, that's going to be the prize. Get your entries into Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com before Thursday night. Just go to Craigslist, take you 5 minutes to find some really crappy ads. And we're looking for holiday ones too. So if you find some interesting holiday ones, send it over. We'll appreciate that. Well, Jamie, it's one of my favorite shows of the year. Last year we did it. And this year we actually have some science to it, because Edison Research conducted a nationwide study, and I was really impressed, happy to see this, because the study was of more than 200 women aged 30 to 49, which is our exact demographic for the show. 70% of our listeners are women aged 30 to 49. So our listeners should be able to relate to this study. And what they asked was, which Christmas songs do they hate the most? Because we're in that time of the year, and of course, Jamie and I love doing this kind of stuff. And then we're going to give you the top 10 Christmas songs they hated the most. I have little clips of all of them here. And then JB, Jennifer, and I are going to give you our picks for our most hated Christmas songs. And it was funny, because I was trying to think of my favorite Christmas song, but I have a lot of favorites. Isn't it easier to pick your most hated something than your favorite something?
You know, I think you're right, because a couple of them are, I'm like, I love that song, but I couldn't have thought of it. But if you walk around, and I did this yesterday, especially Christmas tree shopping, I walk around and you go, hey,
What's your least favorite Christmas song of all time? The one you hate the most? Everybody goes, this one. Everybody has an answer. I mean, there's one
right.
song that just grates on your brain, and there's several of them on this list that are just going to irritate you. Just going to irritate you.
And then there's a couple that I said, why is it on this list? I don't get why this one's on the list, but we'll find out. And then we're going to find out a little bit later. I asked some of our listeners yesterday what they thought, so we'll give you some of their feelings too. But let's start with number 10. According to Edison Research, an actual real study of women ages 30 to 49, this is the 10th worst Christmas song of the season. And I got to say, I agree with this one. Or is that little Jimmy Boyd, and I saw Mommy kissing Santa Claus. Do you know that this was done when he was actually 13 years old when he recorded this back in the 50s? Get this. You're going to love this, Jamie, because I think we both hate this song. So Columbia record executives were baffled by the song's popularity because when it came out in the early 50s, it sold 2.5 million records in the first week. This was, you remember, they were actually had to go out and buy records at that time. They weren't downloading sound files. And get this, he, now 13 years old, the record went to number one on the charts and stayed there. They gave him, there's a horse connection here, because little Jimmy Boyd was owned horses. So Columbia presented him with a silver-mounted saddle. Inscribed on the silver plate in the back of the saddle were the words presented by Columbia Records to Jimmy Boyd commemorating his 3 millionth record of I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus. That was still back in the 50s. Do you know how many copies this has sold since then?
Oh, God. Do I want to know?
60 million copies.
People have bought that song 60 million times. And that kid is 13 years old. He sounds like he's 7. Do you know that the moment, do they have this in the story? The second that he hit end on the recording of that, his voice changed. How is that kid 13?
So we all agree on that
one. That was awful. That's awful. But good for him for making the cash. She made the money.
I bet you he lived on that for the rest of his life, on the residuals from that one song. It's probably all he needed.
His kids are living on the residuals from that song.
Here we go. Number 9. I don't get this one.
Oh. You don't get this one?
I don't get why it's on the list. It's Mannheim Steamroller. Maybe people are just sick of it because it's been played to death in every mall and store and every video that's on YouTube forever.
Glenn, what year is it right now?
2013.
Pretty darn close. Do you know when the synthesizer went out of style in music? 1984. People don't use synthesizers to make music anymore. That song is so 1984, and it is so bad, and it is so it's like a period piece. It just needs to go away. That is a god awful thing. You like the orchestra stuff. I get it, but that is just awful.
Yeah, but I don't think you can really compare, actually, Mannheim Steamroller with Trans-Siberian Orchestra. There's a big difference between the two. Yeah. So, this one Jennifer's going to be upset with because she likes him. So let's listen to number 8 on the worst songs by the Nielsen or by the Edison Research.
Oh, come, Emmanuel. And ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God.
Now, that's Neil Diamond's version of O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. You like Neil Diamond, Jennifer. Do you like this one?
I'm sorry, this is not his best effort. This song should not be sung by a single human being. It requires at least 35 voices and an organ.
Amen, sister. Amen. Like, that's just awful. That's just awful. Doesn't need to be doing that. Now, I don't know if I've heard number 7 ever, so I'm excited to hear it, but I want to let you know that number 6 is one of my favorite Christmas songs of all time. So let's hear number 7.
You've heard this before, I guarantee you, Jamie. Oh, wait a minute. It's tug up here. There it goes.
I'll have a blue at Christmas. Without you, I'll feel so blue. It's just thinking about you. It'll be decorations
on a green. I thought that one was better than Elvis, actually.
You know what this whole entire segment is reminding me of? Just every one of these songs is taking me straight back to 1994 when I worked as a greeter at the Gap for the holiday season. Did all the crap that was played in that store over and over and over again for like 3 months. I worked there for like 3 months, and that's it. They started playing Christmas songs before Halloween. And so, I mean, God, it's killing me.
The next one, there's two versions of this, and I'm just saying this so you know which version I'm going to play, seeing it's apparently one of your favorite songs. There's two versions of this. This is the one where I didn't have to beep out the language. So.
Well. I'm sorry, that's funny every time. He doesn't
Cartman,
know the words to half of it. And then you didn't even record. The best part is when he hits the high note at the end.
Now, there's another version of this. Do you remember the one? By the way, that was Cartman from South Park. And you talked about the religious mothers group being mad about Harry Potter. They should have been up in arms over this version. But the Cartman, or the other version of it, he was getting zapped by a taser gun every time he would mess up the words. Do you remember that version?
You definitely can't play that one.
No, there was much swearing in that version, so I couldn't play that. And besides, we'd have those groups after us too. Well, next one I think everybody agrees on. When it came out, it was such a novelty and one of my mom's favorite songs of all time.
Grandma got run over by a reindeer walking home from our house Christmas Eve.
Yeah, that's all we need of that one.
You can say there's no such thing as... You know what, Glenn? I must say that is one of the songs that you have to hear at least once a year, just so you can get that chills up and down your spine, just like you just did. Like, okay, that's enough. But it's Christmas.
It's like Monster Mash. You have to hear that at Halloween once. You're quiet.
I love this song because it was actually written about my grandma. My grandma would have done all those things.
Yeah, she did imbibe a bit, so that's probably true. Yeah. I don't ever remember going to Jennifer's grandma's house for the holidays, whether it was at noontime or 7 o'clock at night, when she had already finished half the bottle. And it was that way every time. It never failed.
Man, that's a fun grandma right there. That's a woman that knows how to party.
My grandma drove a Mustang.
She did,
your
actually.
Your grandma's
right
awesome.
Right
she
up
bought
the end,
it, too.
Fantastic. She's awesome.
Oh, the next one, I cannot stand anything this person sings, ever, so this is going to send both of me. Oh, God, I hate this.
Jingle bells, jingle all the way, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle all the way, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. We're dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh. All the fields we go, laughing all the way.
Oh, God.
You know what? I've never heard that one, and you know why? Because that's awful. That's Barbara Streisand, like, doing
that's
her
the worst
own
rendition.
Yeah, that's Barbara Streisand doing her own rendition of Jingle Bells. That was god-awful. And, you know, she's in a new holiday movie this year, so I'm sure you'll be running out to see it, Glenn.
I just can't stand Barbara Streisand. It just is like the chalkboard thing, you know? It just, I can't stand her. And this one, it sounds like she's on speed. You
oh,
know?
My God.
900 miles an hour.
Yeah, I was shocked when that started playing. I've never heard that before, and I'm like, what is wrong with her? This thing is in fast forward. Slow it down. But speaking of South Park, they actually did a whole episode on Barbara Streisand. You'll have to go check that one out. It's a timeless classic is what it is.
I'll have to check that out. I used to watch South Park all the time, but I haven't seen it in years. I actually haven't watched it. Are they still making new ones?
Oh, yeah. New ones all the time. It's so topical. But South Park came up with it. Barbara Streisand turns into a monster alien thing, robot, and just starts attacking people. It's great.
Well, that's appropriate, actually. I think that's totally perfect. Number three on the list of the worst Christmas songs of the season is this.
All I want for Christmas is my toothbrush. My toothbrush. See my toothbrush. Gee, if I could only have my toothbrush, then I could wish you Merry Christmas.
Every year, my mother could not wait to hear that song. I think that was a favorite of grandma's everywhere.
Oh my God.
That was Spike Jones, by the way.
Speaking of cartoons, do you guys ever watch Family Guy? Because that sounds like the molester guy from next door. And those who watch the show know exactly who I'm talking about.
Well, that lead vocal was by George Rock. It was recorded by Spike Jones and his City Slickers in December of 6 of 47. That version reached the top of the pop charts in 1948 and 1949. Twice that thing went to the top of the charts. There you go. They didn't have much to choose from back then. The next one, I totally agree. I totally agree with this one.
Someone found a lighted house late one night. And he saw through the wind, no sight. Big man in a tree, this little tiny bit everywhere. He's the man with all the toys.
That was awful. What was that? Glenn
couldn't stand it. He tipped over and knocked over his microphone, I think.
All right, well, I was thinking that you do the Beach Boys and you expect that, little Sandy Dick, ooh, little Sandy Dick, ooh, little Sandy Dick, which is like what they say through the entire song. So that was just awful, but apparently that, the Beach Boys, The Man With All the Toys, is a Christmas song written by Brian Wilson and Mike Love, four of the Beach Boys, released on their 1964 album, and shoot me if I ever buy this album. And do you know anybody that did buy the Beach Boys Christmas album that year, 1964? Beach Boys Christmas album.
I'm back. Sorry about that.
Sorry. Well, that one had apparently some success, and then but the Christmas single of the year in 1963 was Ooh, Little Sandy, Ooh, Little Sandy. Shoot me. That one's worse.
I got got to tell you, I know there's a lot of Beach Boys fans out there, and we're probably going to get some hate mail on our Facebook page. But
bring
if
it
you've
on,
ever,
I don't care.
If you've ever seen the Beach Boys in person, they suck. They're studio. they are a studio band. I mean, and to this day, they're still out. We saw them. I don't know where we ran into them. It wasn't on purpose. It was somewhere. And they just are awful. They're just awful. Ugh. They couldn't sing then, and they can't sing now as seniors.
Well, I must say about the Beach Boys, all I can think of is, and this is me being a kid when this happened, but I remember when the Beach Boys were on Full House, the TV show Full House, and Uncle Jesse started playing with the Beach Boys, and turns out, like, later on in life, he actually toured with the Beach Boys. The guy from Full House joined the Beach Boys band. That's how bad it is, okay? That's bad. Uncle Jesse is your drummer, okay? Awful.
And the number one most hated song, and I think some people are going to be surprised by this, the number one and most hated song of this holiday season is... What I didn't realize is that was actually made in 1955 by a guy by the name of Don Charles in Copenhagen, Denmark.
You know what? Again, it's much like the synthesizer with Mannheim Steamroller. Like, I had a Casio keyboard when I was 7 that I could have done that song on. And here it is.
It was probably done on one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So that's the worst one. The dog's barking, apparently. He's not a real favorite of women between the ages of 30 and 49 anymore. Well, let's talk about which ones we hate the most. And actually, none of us had one that was on that list, which was kind of surprising. But, Jamie, this, get your the fingers on the chalkboard ready, because here you go. This is Jamie's most hated song. Why are you hating on George Michael like that?
That's just awful. I must hate, I'm listening to myself, I must hate everything from the 80s. But dear God, the Gap played that song every 45 minutes for the entire 3 months that they played Christmas songs. And George Michael should be singing nothing religious, okay? Nothing.
There are certain people that should cover certain songs, and then there are ones that just shouldn't be covered by those people. And obviously, George Michael and I Gave You My Heart and Neil Diamond with O Come Emmanuel are two that we definitely have on that list. This one.
I gave it away last Christmas.
Yeah. You shouldn't be covering it either, by the way. This one, we're going to have to ask Jennifer why she hates it so much. You want me to let it keep playing, Jennifer, or chat it up?
Big Wednesday, the day you face your own biggest challenge. The
anything. Did you just hit another button?
So Jennifer, why do you not like the little drummer boy, poor little guy, drumming his little drum there?
You may not be able to relate to this, Glenn. Jamie, when you were in elementary school, were you required by your demonic parents to be in chorus or choir?
You know, my parents gave up on my singing abilities a long time ago, Jen, so no, I was not. But if all I can see is a bunch of little kids standing there with their hands clasped, one on top of the other. Oh, that's awful, though. So that stretches up.
I was in the section of the chorus that held up the little handmade sign with green sparkly stuff that had the S on it when we sang the Christmas song, because I sung that bad, even in elementary school choir. So whenever we did Little Drummer Boy, which was required, I had to do the pa-rump-a-rump, pa-pa-pum-pum-pum part. And I absolutely, positively despise that song.
Now, the next one, the one I despise the most, has been remade by, I think, every musician. I looked at the list of people who have covered this, and I think every musician that ever thought they could sing in the last 50 years has made a copy of this song. And I'll tell you what, they play it endlessly at malls everywhere. And when I hear it come on, I just want to puke. And here it is.
You see, it's cold outside.
I really can't stay.
Baby, it's cold outside.
I gotta go away.
But baby, it's cold outside.
I just wanted to leave. Just leave in the first stanza so you don't have to listen to the rest of the song.
So very nice.
I'll hold you.
I don't care if it's cold. Go out and freeze to death.
Like
my mother will start to worry.
Beautiful, what's your hurry?
My father will be pacing the floor.
Listen to the fireplace
now,
roar.
Now really, I've got to scurry.
Beautiful, please.
Ugh.
I'm sorry.
That's all.
I totally disagree. I love that song.
That song,
Glenn, let me tell you why I love that song. That song was written in 1948, okay? 1948. And do you know what that song is about? That is about a man talking a woman into shagging him all night long. At 1948! Come on! Baby.
All right, do that part or leave. Just don't sing the rest of the song. I'm fine with that happening. I'm all for that. But
that is a salacious, racy song in 1948. It's like basically, baby, take your clothes off, leave them on the floor. I got the fire going. I'm going to get you drunk, and we're going to do it. That song's awesome.
Oh, it was awful. What an awful song. Well, those are our picks. Now, the audience chimed in, and apparently, well, let's see. Excuse me. Grandma got run over by a reindeer is on there, of course. Last Christmas, Katie said, was her most hated song.
Yeah, girl.
Robert Dunn chimed in with the Christmas shoes thing. What's that one?
Oh. So this song, it came out, it's like a country song kind of, but it is like the saddest song, will make you cry. It's about a little boy that is standing in line and he wants to buy some Christmas shoes for his mom. And he's standing in line and he doesn't have enough money.
Huh,
yeah. You know which one I'm talking about?
No, and I know so, which one you're talking about.
Yeah, so he stands in line and then he doesn't have the money and the guy in line gives him the shoes. The guy telling him, singing the song, gives him the money for the shoes. And he's like, yeah, because my mom's dying of cancer and I got to get these shoes back to her because she wanted new shoes for heaven. Like, oh my God, why are we just
crying? This song all by itself is responsible for increasing the suicide rate at Christmas time 1 point.
Amen.
Mike Mumford chimes in. I really dislike the Chipmunks. Doreen says the 12 Days of Christmas, any version, I don't care. So she apparently all 12 Days of Christmas. I think she has ADD, Doreen, probably.
Well, that was Chad, too. He's like, anytime they do 5 golden rings, he's like, I want to stick an ice pick in my ear.
Jingle Bell Rock, apparently, is not a favorite. And then also Last Christmas. So that was there as well.
Yep, Last Christmas, George Michael. I'm telling you, those of us that grew up, like, were born in the late 70s and had to listen to that song all the way through the 80s, still playing in the mall every year. Good God, it's awful. Robert Grantham wanted to ask you a question, Glenn. He wanted to know, what on earth is wrong with Porky Pig's Blue Christmas?
Let me put it this way. If I have to explain it, let me see here. Hold on 1 second. This is for Robert. What's wrong with this?
I'll have a Christmas without you.
But see, there's nothing wrong with 30 seconds of that, but when it goes on for 3 minutes, that's true.
You know what? I mean, Porky Pig playing a ukulele, stumbling through the words. I got to give you that. 3 minutes is just too much. Just too much.
Well, that's it. That's this year's picks of the worst Christmas songs. And we're going to take a break for Back on Track Products, and we're going to be back with a little bit of news. And then coming up later in the show, we have a live report from Michelle Anderson and Dr. Aaron Jones from Florida Equine at the AAEP convention, the American Association of Equine Practitioners out in Anaheim, California. But first, we're going to hear from Back on Track.
Back on Track is a revolutionary line of pain relief products for horses and humans. Utilizing ancient Chinese experience, modern scientific findings, and skilled textile production, we have developed a line of products made of polyester fabric with ceramic powder melted into the threads. This ceramic-infused fabric reflects body heat as infrared waves, a form of energy that has a documented pain-relieving effect. It can reduce inflammation, ease muscle tension, increase blood circulation, and boost the healing process. Back on Track products can be used to warm up your muscles before exercise or work, thereby reducing the risk of strains or injury. Most importantly, they can also expedite the recovery from established injuries. Our wide range of products for horses includes blankets, coolers, saddle pads, boots, and wraps. We also offer a number of products for humans, including back and knee braces, gloves, bedding, and clothing. Back on Track is used by the top equestrians in the world, including McLean Ward, Stefan Peters, BZ Madden, Michelle Gibson, Margie Engel, and Debbie McDonald, just to name a few.
We've been using the Back on Track products now for approximately 4 years, starting with the leg wraps and the blankets. We've seen and noticed wonderful results from these products. We've no longer used poultice in our barn. The horses come out with much tighter legs, seem to have many less ailments, and the side effects of using poultice are not noticed, obviously, using the Back on Track wraps. Using the blanket, the horses have far less back trouble, far less irritation, allows us to do less veterinary treatments on the horse's joints, as well as chiropractic work, and we really feel that it's been a huge improvement for us and helped us have some great results.
If you and your horse would like to experience better health and quality of life, Back on Track may be the answer that you've been looking for.
Well, that's backontrackproducts.com. Backontrackproducts.com is where you'll find all of those terrific products. We are going to do some news here for a couple of minutes. We have one program that came out this year that I thought, Jamie, that you would have liked if when you were in high school, is that the Lexington Catholic High School in Lexington, Kentucky, has now started what they're calling an Equine Academy, which is a 4-year program designed to introduce young people to career opportunities in all aspects of the horse industry. So that's pretty cool that you could go to high school and take equine studies. I mean, I don't know too many around that do that.
Oh, what I missed. Sorry, you guys.
Oh, that's okay. I was just saying that that Lexington Catholic High School in Lexington, Kentucky has started an equine, what they're calling an equine academy, and it's a 4-year program designed to introduce young people to career opportunities in all aspects of the horse industry. You could have went to high school for equine studies.
I kind of did. That's all I really paid attention to, like the horses.
This is a cool program. There are actually 17 students that have come in the first year, and it is a real equine studies program. They have relationships with 20 local farms, organizations, Keeneland, Kentucky Horse Park, Alltech, and Rudin Riddle and Haggard. The students are going to do field trips. They're going to do riding classes in different places, as well as lectures and, you know, all the normal stuff that you do in high school, but with an equine bent. So I think that's probably one of the first high school programs that there is that's actually made it into a 4-year program.
Huh. I bet you didn't realize that every high school in the United States offers programs that are going to help young horse people get into the horse business?
No, I didn't know that.
And they probably don't even recognize it. There's math class, where you learn how to not bounce the checkbook for your stable business. There's English class where you learn how to not write really bad ads.
It's all true.
Yeah.
I think that's the most important one, is how to not write really bad ads. People fail
yeah.
that one.
No, but if they do that, then we won't have really bad ads on Fridays. That's true.
Well, don't worry. Not everybody's going to get involved. All right. Well, we've got our next guest on the line, our guest on the line, Glenn. And why don't you go ahead and take this one since you know him so well?
Well, good morning, Wayne from Easy Signs Online. How are you?
Good morning, guys. How are you today?
Good. Hey, we're running out of time to order custom signs, aren't we?
Oh, we're down to about 10 days, 3 hours, but who's counting?
So 10 days, Kathy. You mean you can order a custom sign from Easy Signs Online all the way up to like the 15th and still get it in time for the holidays?
Yes, we have until next weekend, to be exact, to get the orders in and still have time to build your sign and ship it to you, assuming you don't get the most complicated sign that we make. But, yes, we still have time for that.
And now I know you guys have been doing a lot of sales here over the holidays. What's the best-selling thing that you guys sign that you guys have for horse people that's been selling this year?
Actually, it's the same year in and the year out. The most popular sign we have that people give as gifts is what we call New England-style signs. They're popular simply because they offer the most amount of options and customization as you go through the online process. So anywhere from $140 on up, you can get a very attractive quality custom sign, basically.
For the farm or for on the farm or at the front by the mailbox, wherever. Now, you also have a ton of different graphics, horse graphics, that they can put on their sign, right?
Correct. They can personalize it by choosing one of our many stock graphics that we show on the website, or a lot of people choose to put their own horse or graphic that they supply. They can simply email it to us, and we can reproduce that on their sign in full color as well.
Now, is New England style the sign that Jamie got?
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
That's the one. And Wayne, I've got to let you know that officially now I need two of the little balls. That, you know how you have the sign and then these little ball caps on the end of the top of the sign? Well, a Haboob has now taken my last one of those. I need two more. So put those on my credit card. But I would like you to know, everybody, that the sign stayed up through a Haboob. So fortunately...
Okay.
We were able to keep this. It's very sturdy. It's fantastic. It's great. It's on the road right now. It looks awesome. And it's such a good landmark to have when you're giving people directions to your house. You're like, oh, you'll see the sign. What do you mean you'll see it? You'll see the sign. There's a big sign out front that says Fly River Farm. It's perfect, and it's beautiful, and it stands out. And not only do you have a million graphics, I was so particular with Wayne when I ordered my sign, Glenn, because I wanted a very particular, shocker. He hated me. I wanted an F-16 and also a very particular horse jumping. And it had to be more of the eventing form as opposed to, like, there's a couple different ones where I just didn't think the horse's form was right. So poor Wayne. He sent me about 100 different horse jumping templates, and just it was very patient with me, and we got the exact perfect one. And who knew he'd have an F-16 graphic?
Well, that's great, and you can make your own sign by going to easysignsonline.com. Now, we had a coupon. Is the coupon still good, Wayne?
Yes, I did want to mention that. That coupon is good through next weekend as well. It's HRN12. That stands for Horse Radio Network, so it's good for your fans. That would give you 15% off any order over $100. And a little note here, even if you're not looking to give a sign as a gift, if you want to get yourself a sign but you're not quite ready to do it, take advantage of that coupon. You can use that to buy yourself a gift certificate, therefore guaranteeing yourself that coupon for future use as well. So, for instance, if you want a $100 gift certificate, you would only end up paying $85 for that.
Well, great. All right, terrific. That's easy. The letter's easy, signsonline.com. Thank you, Wayne.
Thank you much.
All right, bye-bye. Well, there you go. So now Wayne can say that his signs are haboob-proof.
Yeah. It was funny. We found one of the little caps. It's like a little cap on the edge of the sign with a little really pretty ornate kind of ball on it, white ball on it. And we found one of them in the road that had been run over. And I don't know what happened to the other one. But they definitely lifted off. But the sign stayed steady.
All right. Terrific. Well, we're going to take a break for a good Christmas song here, and this is done by you haven't heard this one on the show before. You haven't heard this artist on the show before either. His name is Bren Hill, and the song is North Pole Rodeo. Bren is actually going to be on a special musical episode that we're doing. We're putting a couple of those together, Jamie and I. We love doing those with these artists, and we're going to be putting a couple together that we're going to play on at Christmas week. So we'll have some new shows for you on Christmas week that we'll have recorded, and I think you're going to enjoy his music. His name is Bren Hill, and this is North Pole Rodeo.
It's a cold, cold place, 6 months till dawn. Toes are all delivered, Christmas is gone. There ain't much to do, 36 below. Saddle up the reindeer and have a rodeo. Shake the holiday blues, wearing cowboy boots and faded denim tights. Watch Rudolph, Buck, and Elf to ride through the northern lights. And there ain't no better show in an arena made of snow than Santa's North Pole Rodeo. Yodelay, yodelow, yodelay, yodelow, yodelay, yodelow, yodelow, yodelay, yodelow, yodelow. You ain't never seen a bareback ride. You've seen an elk on a polar bear's backside. I tried to talk a loop round a slick wet seal, or hog tie a narwhal. Man, that's a slippery deal. You shake the holiday blues, wearing cowboy boots and faded denim tight. I watch Rudolph, Buck, and Elf to ride through the northern lights. And there ain't no better show.
That is, I could just see the reindeer doing a rodeo. That is North Pole Rodeo by Bren Hill. You're listening to Horses in the Morning by Back on Track Products. I am Glenn the Geek, and we're here with Jamie Jennings, and Coach Jen is sitting in the producer chair today. And we are only a couple of weeks away from the holidays, and we actually bought our first gifts while we were at Disney the other day. We're normally, see, Jennifer and I are a lot alike that way. We're both bad, and we put it off to the last minute. So we did good. We started 3 weeks ahead.
What did you guys, who'd you shop for at Disney?
I can't say.
That means it was me, wasn't it?
I can't say. I can't say who we shop for. I can't say.
Nice.
I'm not allowed to say. Well, a couple other news things here. You remember we talked a couple weeks ago about the naked guy who climbed on top of the London equestrian statue and was and had a standoff with the police while naked on top of this equestrian, bronze equestrian statue of the 19th century Duke of Cambridge? Well, he's been sentenced now, and it looks like the naked guy is going to have to put on a prison uniform for 12 weeks. He's going to jail for 12 weeks for standing naked on the statue.
No
so,
kidding.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's just sad. I mean, the guy was making a statement, okay? He shouldn't be in trouble for that. Whatever. I'm sorry, I don't remember that story. I must not have been here that day. So a naked man was standing on a statue for the an Olympic statue?
It was a statue of a guy on a horse, a big bronze statue, like two, three stories tall, a big statue. And he apparently had some kind of scuffle with the police, so he climbed up the top of the statue, took all his clothes off, and the police took hours talking this guy down. Apparently they closed off the square, and it was hours trying to talk this guy down.
Okay, the only visual image that I can come up with from that is like a naked man riding a horse. It's got to be painful. So did he hop on double when he was naked, riding with the statue?
The picture that I had in the paper was, you're going to love this, was actually of him standing on top of the horse's head between the ears. And
How big is the statue?
It was big. It was a big statue. But I'm guessing that he did not stay standing on top, balanced on top of the horse's head for hours. I assume at some point he had to get down and actually, like, ride the horse.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's fantastic. Hey, go ahead.
I was just going to say, you know that San Francisco, that it was not illegal up until yesterday to be naked in town? You could just be naked anywhere you wanted to. And for the first time, they passed an ordinance, the city council passed an ordinance that outlawed nudity, except in parades. You're allowed to be naked in parades.
Seriously?
Isn't all public nakedness parading? Isn't it
Making
a parade in
point.
And of itself?
Now, Glenn, that reminds me, in San Francisco, there's a it's supposed to be Bay to Breakers, but it's not called the Bear to Breakers. It's a race in San Francisco. My brother-in-law participated in this race and took photos of the entire time. Now, he dressed up in some sort of like kind of like 70s workout outfit, and I thought he looked funny, and then I realized from his pictures that he was boring. First of all, most of the people that run in this race in San Francisco are naked, jogging, running naked, with like either barefoot or with tennis shoes on, totally naked. And apparently, I mean, to me, again, much like riding horses, I'm not a guy, but wouldn't running kind of chafe a little bit, hurt a little bit without some tighty whities on or something?
It's the freedom, Jamie, the freedom.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Well,
that's definitely an event I'm not going to.
Apparently, at the meeting yesterday of the city council, several of the people who apparently like to be naked all the time in San Francisco took their clothes off right in the middle of the city council meeting, about a dozen of them, and they had to be escorted out by the police. So they're going down fighting.
Fantastic. Hey, it is that time of year again to nominate horses for the Vox Populi Award, which is the award that Penny Chinnery of Secretariat fame has created to honor one of the most popular, basically, the most popular horse of the year. So if you generate headlines and you're kind of a heroic equine in the horse racing world, they've now opened the nominations and voting for the third annual Secretariat Vox Populi, which is Voice of the People Award. Now, this year's nominees include Frankel, I'll Have Another, Royal Delta, Shanghai Bobby, who is a two-year-old that finished the year undefeated in five career starts, and Wise Dan, who just broke the Santa Anita course record in the Breeders' Cup Mile. I'll Have Another, of course, won the Derby. Royal Delta is fantastic super mare. She just won the Breeders' Cup Classic, Ladies' Classic, again for the second year in a row. And, of course, Frankel needs no introduction. And apparently there's one other one that has just been nominated. But you can go to secretariat.com to vote. And if it's anything like my voting on The Voice, I am not going to be successful in selecting the one that I think is going to win, because my girl Amanda got voted off last night, and I'm seriously PO'd at The Voice right now. But anyway, Secretariat.com. Voting ends Sunday, December 23rd, and the award ceremony is December 29th at Santa Anita. Of course, last year was Rapid Redux, who won race like 150 times, which is fantastic. And then also Zenyatta won in 2010. So Bob, in good shoes right now. And, I mean, I love Royal Delta. I love that mare. I'll have another I know you love. Shanghai Bobby, maybe next year. Wise Dan, fantastic horse. How can you not vote for Frankel? He like, for a whole entire nation, changed, made horse racing awesome for them.
I agree. And, yeah, I wanted to say, too, that the one of the – there are other nominations for, like, media and things with these awards. And Amy Zimmerman, who's been on our show from HRTV, was nominated. So she has been on our show in the past, so we wish her luck as well.
I thought she was on the committee for selecting. Yeah.
Oh, maybe. Ah, you're right. She is on the committee.
Yeah.
Well, Amy Frankel, Amy. We'll call her and tell her.
Yeah, I mean, the Vox Populi, it's okay, the way that they do it is there's three kind of people that are organizations that get to vote. One is the people, because it's the voice of the people. Then there's the committee, which is like racing commentators, Hall of Fame jockeys, producers, vice presidents for like the Triple Crown production, National Thoroughbred Racing Association people, and HRTV Amy Zimmerman. So they got all those people. And then the third person that gets to vote is Penny Chenery. So she may think it's the voice of people, but it's really the voice of Penny. You think it? She's like, no, I don't want to go with who they voted for. I'm going for this horse. She probably has a pretty big say in it. So, Penny Chenery, let's go with Frankel. Come on.
All right. Jamie, you're going to need to call back. You're breaking up there a little bit. So,
okay.
I will take us to thehorse.com next. We are up, and here is the bumper.
The Horse Health Report is coming to town. When you turn him out, you'd best keep him dry. In case you have doubt, I'm telling you why. The Horse Health Report is coming to town. You're getting the gist, don't roll the dice. Check water buckets, check them twice, because the Horse Health Report is coming to town.
And, of course, the Horse Health Report is brought to you by thehorse.com, and today we have Michelle Anderson with us of thehorse.com. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning. Hi, Glenn.
You know, you guys are getting up early because they are coming to us live from the AAEP, the American Association of Equine Practitioners in California.
Yes, and actually, I'm usually on East Coast time. I live on the West Coast, but I work on East Coast time, and now I am officially on West Coast time after being at this conference and being up until 11 o'clock midnight every night. So, yes, it's very early. Good morning.
Well, good morning.
Well, I wanted to say we got Dr. Jones here. Dr. Jones, I have to make a plea with you. Please, please come home. When are all you vets coming home? Because let me just tell you that those of us who are left at home have to deal with the intern vets. And I, for one, cannot deal with another intern moment that I've had two this week that are, like, I'm like, did you really just say that? Did you say that? So when are you guys coming home, Dr. Jones?
Never. We're never coming home. We're having too much fun.
Seriously.
I got a message from a friend I posted on Facebook, you know, that it really moves me. This is my first year at AAEP, and I was in the lobby, and I was looking at everyone talking and milling around. They're all horse people, lots of cowboy boots, lots of cowboy hats, and 7,000 people, vets and industry, all in one place for one purpose, and that's the horse. And that, like, I have this kind of choked up, maybe it's because I'm deliriously tired, but I just had this moment of, you know, all these people are here for our horses, and that's amazing. And
right.
Then I posted that on Facebook, and a friend said, what do you mean all the vets are there? What happens here if something goes wrong? Like, I think a couple got left back home.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's great. All you guys standing around, woohoo, this is awesome. And then those of us that need a vet are stuck with somebody who graduated 3 months ago that I think I know more than her. And we are stuck here trying to tolerate, deal with our own horses. And y'all need to come home. Seriously, I'm done with this. I hate this week every year. So I got to tell you the quick story. How do I sound about you guys? Does my sound sound okay? I've had to call back. Is it all right?
Sounds good to me.
Okay.
Sounds good to me.
So Dr. Jones, let me just run this by you. I
Uh-oh.
Have a student who we just went and found her a horse on the racetrack. She doesn't have a lot of money to spend and wants something athletic. So, boom, we go to the track. We find one that needs a home. And I noticed just doing a little bit of kind of like just looking at him that he had a little bit of, not a ton, but just a little bit of fluid when I kind of palpated his tendons on his front left leg. So we get it ultrasounded by the track vet. Everything looks fine. The tendon fibers look fine. Everything looks excellent, except for there's just a little bit of fluid kind of between the two tendons. And this horse raced 4 days ago. All right.
Mm-hmm.
So my student decides to get a second opinion and takes mm-hmm. it to our clinic that's right down the street and walks in, and the only person there is the intern. And I would like you to know what the intern said when she looked at the ultrasound. She goes, wow, the tendon fibers look great, but if this was from racing, it would be in all four legs.
Really?
Does that make sense to you? Can you hurt all four legs? If you have fluid in one leg, does that mean you have to have it in all four legs? I've never heard anything that stupid in my entire life. And it's the front left leg. Horses run to the left, honey. Come on.
I think she needs to come to AAP. I think her boss needs to let her come to AAP.
Yes, something about, like, to me, I was like, really? So if you hurt one leg, and it's not even hurt, but if you hurt one leg, that means you have to hurt all of them? That didn't make
sense. Jamie, while we've been here at AAEP, we've been also at the horse filming a bunch of webcasts for the coming year and videos and those sorts of things, because all the vets are in one place where we can grab them. And there's a presentation, and I can't tell you what it's about quite yet, but it's about a certain kind of therapy that it's going to be running in February, and it's really, really good. I'll tell you that. But one of the case studies was a horse that had suspensory injuries in all four legs.
I'm sure it happened.
And the horse, after this treatment, went back to work.
Well, that's fantastic.
That was
amazing. I can't wait to hear about it. But back to the four legs, it's a case study because it's so rare, right?
Yeah, probably.
All right, you guys. Well, we'll let you take over here. What are you guys going to report on from the AAEP convention, other than the fact that people are getting drunk, staying up late? Has anybody run naked down the hallway in the hotel? Give us that's what we really want to know.
Everyone's been pretty civilized,
goodness.
I think. Lots of people having a good time, but definitely civilized.
I want Dr.
What
Jones
happens
to answer
AAP?
This.
What happens to the AAP stays at AAP? Come on, people.
Don't lie to me. Come on.
So, Erin, you know, you have been out going, talking to people, going to sessions. I've been working and not getting to go to as many sessions as I was hoping to. What are some of the highlights of things that you've learned while you've been here?
Well, I think the Milne lecture with Dr. Stephanie Valberg was fantastic, talking about tying up horses. And, of course, the difference between the PSSM and the RER horses. And
yeah, I've heard a lot about this, lots of people talking about this.
Well, she crossed both lines. She talked about performance horses and race horses all in one lecture. How could you not go wrong? That is a fantastic mm-hmm. talk. And it was very well done. And the Milne lecture is always very well done. We always have the best of the best give that lecture. And in fact, I had a sporadic tie-up about a week and a half prior to coming here, and that client was thrilled that I was going to be able to sit in on that lecture and find out any new stuff. So that one was a fantastic. Our Kestra News Hour always is good. It's a good recap. If you haven't had a chance to look at all your journals and such, you can quickly, you know, go to that and get caught up on some of the important articles that are out there for repro, medicine and lameness. And then each day we've had our choices of what to go to, and
as I have told you, that Michelle, that I really enjoy going to the table topics. It's not scientifically based, but most of the experts are actually at the table topics because you can read your proceedings, because you get those nice, beautiful proceedings. You read those proceedings for the sessions, but the people that are in the trenches doing things are at those table topics, and you get a lot more beefy, this is what I do in my practice, and this works very well. So it's a clinical application, not a scientific-based one, and there's no notes for those. You take notes as you're going along. They have them for business. Yeah. They have them for sport horse. They have them for reproduction. They're really, really good. And and then, of course, the imaging ones I very much enjoy because I can actually watch them do the imaging, see the images, and compare them to those images I've done myself, even though I don't have a probe in my hand. It's not a wet lab where I'm actually doing the ultrasound or taking the radiograph. It gives you some really great guidelines of when you go back home and you're doing those ultrasounds in those all four swollen legs of those race horses. And you can, you know, feel a little bit more confident about your ability. So I could go on and on, of course. But.
Yeah. You know, since we talked yesterday, Erin, I did get to sit in on a couple table topics. I sat in on the sport horse eventing table topic, and I sat in on the welfare and unwanted horses table topic. Really interesting, really, like you said, kind of meaty information and very frank discussions between the practitioners on what they do in for eventing. They were talking about the pre-purchase exams, what's important, what's not, what level are the horses at, and they were talking from your pony club horse all the way up to your Olympic athlete. And then going over to the unwanted side, it was really compassionate vets who are talking about going to court to fight for these horses, turning people in. You know, there's a lot of ramifications from seeing horses and turning people into the authorities, and also the tie between child abuse and animal abuse, and how important it is that we do help horses, because by helping horses, it might also be helping children in the household. So that was a really interesting, very frank, honest discussion. It was really interesting to be in there, and I'm glad that people are talking about this stuff and working together.
Wow,
how cool that professionals get together and come up with solutions.
And I'll have to tell you, Michelle, two of the top people for the welfare program are good friends of mine, Dr. J. Merriam and Dr. Julie Wilson. And I saw them last night at the foundation celebration, and they felt like they actually hit out of the park, not just a home run, out of the park response to their welfare program at this meeting. So it's just as important to the veterinarians here that they score amongst their peers, that they have made a difference amongst their peers in what they are passionate about, whether it's their imaging abilities or their welfare programs. It's very important that they get accepted by their members of AAP. So this is a pretty important organization.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this is an international meeting, and so sitting in those rooms, there were people from the UK and Australia as well as here in the U.S. People, I talked yesterday to the vet for the German show jumping team, and so everyone coming together in this one place to talk about our horses, and that helps all of us. I'm feeling very confident after having seen everyone together talking about how to take better care of our horses.
Okay.
It's really, really cool.
I got a question for you. Now,
mm-hmm.
Dr. Jones, you live in Florida, and Michelle, you live up in Oregon, I believe. Have you guys met yet?
We met in person for the first time yesterday. So it was really great after a year of working together. You know, Erin and I talk a lot. Dr. Jones, sorry. We do talk
a
lot. And so it was nice to finally see each other face to face.
And I found it very surreal. I found it very surreal because you hear this voice that you know so well, this voice in your head, and then all of a sudden there she is. And it's like, wow, this is so surreal.
It is crazy, isn't it?
I do exist, yeah.
It is. And did anybody say anything stupid like, I thought you were blonde, or wow, you're shorter? Because I want to tell you, I talked to Glenn for a long time before he met me, and you know what he says to me? Wow, you're a lot shorter than I thought you were going to be. Anything like that?
You must have a tall presence on the the radio.
Or I'm just very short.
Well, she doesn't sound like she's 4'10", does she?
Say what?
She doesn't sound like she's 4'10", right? I mean, she sounds taller than that.
She does. Man, shut up. I am 5'3", thank you. Almost 5'3". Anyway, well, you guys, thank you so much for taking some time out of your morning. I'm sure you're both, and you're not going to admit it, but you're both probably a little hungover. You want to roll back to bed, first session, go to the late one.
I'm ready to pack and go home.
Are you all coming home now? Home. Is it over?
Yeah,
no,
it's
today
wrapping up
it
this
ends
morning.
At 2 o'clock. 2 o'clock today, 2 o'clock this afternoon is the last session.
Bring the doctors home. I'm ready.
Yes. They'll be there soon.
All right. Well, you guys, and have a safe flight. Enjoy the rest
Thank
of your
you.
Day. No wonder you guys sound tired, the horses, because you've been partying. Last night was the last night. We understand. It's cool.
We've
we
been working.
Yet.
We've been working.
Uh-huh. Yeah, don't lie to
yes,
me.
Yes, ma'am. We've been working hard.
Oh, I'm sure. Well, you guys, have a great trip. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you again next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, it doesn't sound like they're having any fun at all out there, does it? Oh, I think we lost. I think we
Jamie
lost
has,
Jamie, Jennifer.
Jamie left the room as well. She's going to have herself a cup of coffee, I'm sure, or perhaps a Virgin Bloody Mary, so that she can support the folks out at the AAEP party / convention.
Well, I'll tell you what happened to me is I got knocked off my computer, and the same thing might have happened to her, too. I'm not sure. But I had to call back on the phone here. I'm not on the computer anymore. So
Do you find
I don't
yourself
know.
Having withdrawal symptoms right now?
Yeah. I don't know what's going on right now, but I'm sure she'll be calling back here in just a second. I wanted to remind everybody that this week, Really Bad Ads is on Friday, and for Really Bad Ads, we are giving away a big bag of stud muffins. So, and maybe we'll throw in some of the Christmas stuff, too. They had some Christmas stuff in there. So let's say a prize pack of stud muffins that will be coming your way if you're the winner of Really Bad Ads on Friday. Just go on to Craigslist and find yourself some Really Bad Ads. We'd love to have a holiday one or two. So if you could find a holiday one or two, that would be great. So we'll look.
What I meant.
Yep, there you are. You're probably having the same
Jennifer,
problem I did. I had to call back on the phone. So.
No, I think Jennifer hung up on me when she was hanging up on all the other people. So.
Okay, that's possible. So get your ads in to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com for Really Bad Ads on Friday. What else do we have to cover here, Jamie? I think that was about all we had for today, except for In Lingerie, one of my favorite horses has been retired.
Yeah, this is. Let me tell the story since they can hear me a little better. So In Lingerie, Glenn, I know it was one of your favorite horses. You've been cheering for her all year long. She won the Judmont Spinster race this year, big Grade One stakes race. Well, she has now been retired from racing. And guess where she's going? She's going to get on a plane and go over to England, and she's going to go partner up with 2-time Horse of the Year, Frankel. She's going to have a
really?
Frankel baby.
That is big news for her. You can't get any bigger than that right there.
I wonder if she will be wearing lingerie when she goes and sees Frankel. Oh, I'm that was really Jamie.
Yes. That was terrible.
Yeah.
Terrible.
I'll send a show on that. Thank you, everybody, for joining. Do you have anything else? I think that was about it, right?
Yes. We need to say thank about... you to somebody, Glenn.
Yes,
and thanks to Dr. Rose's. Dr. Rose's Remedies, we'd like to tell you guys that it was developed by Dr. Rose DeLeva. Now, that's why it's called Dr. Rose's. See, I didn't know that. Dr. Rose's Remedies, Skin Treatment, Salve, and Spray are all natural products which are anti-inflammatory, antiviral, antifungal, antiseptic, anti-scarring, anti-everything. They work to promote the healing of skin rashes, relieve inflammation, irritation, promote healing of wounds, moisturize the skin on horses. This is like a do-it-all cream. It's fantastic stuff. Dr. Rose's Remedies, can also be used on a variety of animals, including dogs, cats, horses, and Glenn, apparently, because he's used that as well. It has been very
irritating.
Effective treating.
Yeah.
He what?
Glenn's irritating. Let's rub it all over Glenn.
There you go.
I heard that.
It'll get rid of Glenn's rain rot, too. It'll get rid of scratches, abrasions. And I know you guys use it for your dog, Glory. So if you're at a tack shop, vet clinic, pet store, go to Dr. Rose's through their website. They'll send you some free samples. Make sure you test it out. Get it. It's fantastic stuff. To learn all about the products and read some reviews of people that have used it, drrosesremedies.com, and tell them that we sent you here over on the Horse Radio Network. Jamie and Glenn sent you, and this is the only thing you're going to listen to that we say.
That's right. Very good, and you know what? It worked really well. We used it on Beaker laid down in a hive of fire ants and got all bit up, and we know how nasty those are. They get really nasty, and they're all healed up now after about a week using Dr. Rose's. He's good to go. And
all right, fantastic.
Yep, very good. Well, thank you, Jamie. We're gonna call it quits here today with the sound issues and everything else we have going on. Fun show talking about horrible Christmas songs. And we'll be back here on Friday. Thank you, everybody.
Stay neutering, y'all people. Baby, it's cold outside. I really can't stay. There's something, get naked and take off your clothes by the fire and make out and drink a lot. I love that song.